It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, a lot going on. We started the show off, we talked to Che Rheinfest.
Smith.
Who is the Chicago area writer, producer, rapper, entrepreneur.
Ran for alderman.
Three Grammys, an Oscar, and a Golden Globe.
Worked with Kanye West. One of those Grammys, at least.
Maybe the only guy in the world who actually understands what Kanye West is talking about when he's talking. Because if you watched the VMAs last night, no one understood what he was talking about.
Everyone was like, oh no, Kanye's going to speak. Here we go. Just wait, wait.
But my favorite part was that MTV told him, hey, you got 4 minutes, say whatever you want. And he went 12. And he did.
He kind of hijacked it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He knew that would happen.
It was like, whatever. It is okay.
He may be insulted people, but I couldn't really understand everything he said, so I'm not sure.
I think we've come to understand.
Although the positive thing about Kanye and Rheinfest is that they did together start Donda's House, which is a wonderful program helping kids learn to write songs and show, you know, extend their creative side through a well-funded program named after Kanye's mom, Donda's House.
Right, of course. All right, so we started off with that. Then we had an admiral from the United States Navy who used to run the Navy SEAL program, who's here to talk about the Navy SEAL Foundation, which is a very special thing. And now, Chet Gowdy, not an American hero, but an American hero in, as far as I'm concerned. But not,
yes, he is.
But not officially named such by the president.
Chicago legend.
I think that's the best way to put it.
Fairly state it.
All right, now, Chuck, you're working on the story for ABC7. I'm not quite sure exactly what's happened here, but on the voter rolls, people who have registered to vote in the state of Illinois, 200,000 of them may have had their identities hacked. Is that correct?
Well, I don't think may have. They did. I mean, the general counsel for the state election board says that about 200,000 people had their data breached by unknown attackers who got into the system in late June and had the run of the place until July 13th when the state found out about it.
And who, Chuck, have they been able to isolate who mostly was affected or characteristics so the people know if they're likely in that pool?
No. I don't know if the state has managed to identify these people, but so far the people whose identity was hacked and breached, compromised, they've not been notified. But the state is saying that that they hope to be able to go through all these things and notify people. You know, the claim is that a lot of this information is public anyway, but clearly you don't want people kind of rummaging through the back alleyways of your database with information that people give to you, presuming that you're going to protect it.
Well, it also leads you to wonder about intent. And I know the authorities don't know that yet, but there was a similar hack in Arizona, and they potentially could be foreign hackers. They don't know yet. Any word on the investigation into who might be behind it?
Well, there were IP addresses that came back to a number of foreign countries. The people who trace these things seem somewhat confident that there is some Russian influence and fingerprint, as they put it, behind these attacks. But, you know, it's Bulgaria, it's Turkey, the Netherlands, there are IP addresses that come back there. But when they try to trace these things back, it doesn't always mean that that's where the actual attackers are operating from. I mean, they could hop to a few different locations and have their tracks covered.
It is interesting, though, that Russian. So your sources are telling you that this has the earmarks of a Russian action or no?
Well, that's what the experts are saying, yes.
Yeah. It is interesting. If that is in fact the case, and what we already know that the Russians have gotten involved, or at least some out of Russia, much of the email dumps have occurred. They seem to be, there's people, whether it's Edward Snowden or somebody else, because isn't he still there? Isn't he sitting there right now?
I believe he is.
Yeah. That they seem to be very interested in this election year specifically. And what are they doing? And I just wonder, what are we going to do to their elections? But what could you do? Because Putin gets elected with 99.8% of the vote. So.
He's very popular.
Yeah, I don't think that any amount of U.S. hacking of their computers will change that outcome.
Yeah. I think that's probably true. I think that's likely.
So what did they suggest you do? I mean, many of us are on the, you know, we're registered voters and we're concerned about our identities, or any material that might help people steal our identities could be out there. What's the best advice there, Chuck?
Well, I don't know that you have much recourse here. First of all, you really have to wait to see whether or not your information was among those stolen. And if that was the case, hopefully by the time the state notifies people of that, they'll also know exactly what was taken. I'm not sure that this will be any great personal compromise for people. There weren't full Social Security numbers. There would have been birth dates. There may have been some addresses. But again, the state is saying that much or all of this information is publicly available anyway.
True.
Well, right. I mean, that is true. And it's not like your credit card numbers are...
Or Social Security number.
Right, impacted here, necessarily.
Apparently it was the last four digits of your SOCH that may have been compromised in some of these cases.
Well, that's not great, is it?
No, that's an identifier. It's used by a lot of people as a four-digit identifier.
I just used it with my credit card company today as the only way of getting into my credit cards.
Oh, good. Let's tell us about that now.
Well, I don't want to talk about it. I was just saying that is something that you use, right, to access your important data.
And we don't, and like all these cases, just unclear why somebody would want to do that.
Well, it isn't clear. I mean, there was no claim of responsibility, no demand. The information hasn't turned up anywhere yet, may never turn up. So these things are unclear. I mean, one thing that you kind of lose sight of is that there are thousands of these attempts on a daily basis of government and corporate computers in the United States. Very few of them are ever successful. And those that are, like these two in Arizona and Illinois, end up getting a lot of attention. But you just don't know what the motivation is or really who was behind it.
John McCain. It's Arizona. I'm going to go with John McCain.
John
McCain's thing is tomorrow. When do we figure this thing out? Is this just breaking today? Are we learning about this just for the first time today?
You know, there were some bits and pieces of this actually weeks ago. However, it became known early today when the FBI, an FBI bullet on this was made public.
Confirmed by the FBI today.
That's how we ended up learning about it.
Yeah. John McCain's primary is tomorrow. And he's got a woman who is like within a couple points of him. And that's going to be sort of an interesting situation there, too. And you just do wonder. Are people trying to monkey with us? Chuck, do you think people are trying to monkey with us?
I think there's no doubt about that. Yeah. I mean, these things aren't, this is not some kid in his bedroom, you know, playing with his computer who's doing this.
I know.
These would appear to be better organized group efforts, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, is that the point? I mean, that's the thing that gets everybody, I think, it raises a lot of eyebrows. Mm-hmm. Because it does appear to be organized. There's a lot around our political system. And as you pointed out, we all knew that that whether it was security systems or credit card systems or banking or any of the rest of those are very obvious targets. But then to start playing around in the political system, that's 2.0. To use the terminology of the internet.
Yeah. Although they really haven't graduated from 1.0 yet, because there are still an awful lot of computer systems that run public utilities that are vulnerable.
Oh, Chuck, why? Why do you have to bring that up in the middle of all this? He loves that story. He loves that. Once a year he goes out and he tries to sneak into a nuclear plant. And
sometimes he gets in, it turns out.
Exactly. We can always tell because his hair looks like Ryan Lochte's afterwards. All right. Let's talk about...
That would make me an American hero, though, that, Rob.
Yes, finally. Finally, Chuck. Hey, let me ask you a little bit also about what's happening here, too. This is an astounding number. That Chicago is approaching 2,700 people shot this year that have been hit with bullets, 400 and just under 500 people dead so far this year. And we have not even finished August, right? We still have 4 months to go. Now, last year, there were 2,900 people shot in the entire year. What do we make of this?
Well, the percentages are astounding. I mean, the raw numbers obviously are terrible, but you know, 40% and 50% increase in a year's time. And it really doesn't seem as though anybody can get their arms around what's causing it, much less how to stop it. You heard over the weekend for the first time, I think, the police superintendent say that what's needed here is what's happened in some other states, and that is to really lock up people who use guns in crimes and not let them out after 6 months or 8 months on a bracelet to go do it again. But to
because this one
have
guy
people behind bars for 3 years or 4 years, mandatory minimums.
This one guy charged in the death of Dwayne Wade's cousin
was out on parole,
and he was allowed to take off his electronic monitor to go to a job interview. It is said. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize you could do that. I thought that those things don't come off.
Well, I don't believe you take them off. I believe that they know that you're going to do that during a certain time
period. So you
period,
can be gone,
and you're not monitored to the extent that you're monitored anyway. I mean. We've done a number of stories over the years that indicate that they're not as closely monitored as most people would think.
That's kind of a resources issue, I would think, too.
Yeah.
It's hard. But I think this sort of runs against the narrative, what the police superintendent is saying, that we also hear in other circles, well, we've got to stop this chronic way that we lock up young African-Americans for nonviolent crimes, such as gun possession, such as dealing drugs. And then on the other hand, you hear the police superintendent say, no, we need, and even the mayor saying we need mandatory minimums for crimes like this because those are the gateway crimes to larger issues.
Right. But I think they're talking also about, you know, the use of a gun in a violent felony as opposed to just an unlawful possession or, you know, carrying a gun in a drug crime. I mean, they're talking about crimes where a gun has been used. And that really is what's happened in New York and why their numbers are so low is because for the last 8 or 10 years, they've locked people up for much longer periods of time and they haven't gotten out. And it's been quite a deterrent there.
Right. But what you hear here is that we don't have the resources for that. We don't have the money for that. We don't
right.
have.
Well,
New York is a very large state. It has a very large tax base. And the city of New York, which is interesting because New York by, you know, if you look at the other, it's a pretty rural state once you get out of New York City and Buffalo, right? And so they have a lot of industry. They've got a lot of, and they have a lot of spending issues too, I'm sure. But what is fascinating is that the crime rate across the board, we're not just talking about murder. We're not just talking about shootings. We're talking about the crime rate across the board in New York is far lower than it is in Chicago. And people always talk about, oh, New York is so dangerous. Are you kidding me? New York, you can walk around New York 24 hours a day in Manhattan, on that island of Manhattan, and your likelihood of something bad happening to you is a tenth of what it would be here. It's crazy.
Right. It's true.
And it speaks of what our problems are, not what they're, it's not because they're so great, it's because we've not figured out our own issues here.
Well, you either pay for it on the front side and lock people up who have the proclivity to use guns in crimes, or you pay for it on the other end, dealing with, you know, victims' costs, medical bills, and then locking people up once they've been convicted of murder.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Pay me now or pay me later. All right, Chuck, thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Chuck.
It, sir.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye. Chuck Gowdy, you can see him tonight, ABC 7. His work starts at 5.
But it really never ends.
No. Because he's doing God's work.
He's always working.
He is a true American hero via Leiter Pyder Medic.